Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Monday, 17th August 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So what's been happening in the FX market over the past week, Lee?
It's been a fairly quiet week during the summer trading conditions. For the month of, as a whole, we've generally seen the dollar been consolidating at lower levels against a basket of G10 currencies. That follows, obviously, the sharp decline that we saw last month when the dollar fell by about 5% against most of the major currencies. So looks like after that heavy period of selling, the market is now kind of catching its breath and the dollar is at least having a period of consolidation. In terms of kind of performance against individual G10 currencies, well, it's been a bit more mixed. We continue to see the dollar weaken against the Canadian dollar, Norwegian krona, and Swedish krona over the past week, but that's been offset by a stronger dollar against the yen and the New Zealand dollar as well. And then in the EM space, we can kind of see this theme of oil-related currency outperformance. That's also evident there as well, with the likes of the Malaysian ringgit and Russian ruble as well. Those have kind of outperformed amongst EM currencies over the past week. Having said that, though, we don't really see any kind of clear fundamental catalyst why those oil-related currencies have been outperforming in the short term. Although we do see evidence there that the correlation between oil FX and the price of oil has strengthened. And as well, on a kind of technical perspective, if you look at the price of WTI, that did last week close above the 200-day moving average for the first time since early this year. So perhaps that's encouraging some bullish momentum for those oil currencies in the short term. And that's certainly what we see in terms of our kind of momentum indicators, that those are displaying the most bullish kind of strongest relative bullish momentum there for the Canadian dollar in the G10 space. So from that perspective alone, that momentum, if that continues, it will keep downward pressure on dollar CAD as it moves closer towards the 130 level in the week ahead. On the other hand, obviously, the recent underperformance of the New Zealand dollar, I think, is easier to explain. We obviously had a relatively dovish policy update from the RBNZ last week, that they clearly exceeded expectations for more dovish easing going forward, obviously extending their quantitative easing program again by another 40 billion New Zealand dollars up to 100 billion cap, and also extending that purchase program for a further year until June 2022. I think even more kind of dovish for the market was also the accompanying kind of communication from the central bank that they're also kind of considering more seriously the possibility of putting negative rates in place in New Zealand, perhaps as early as the start of next year. So I think taking all that into consideration, we still see the likelihood is that the New Zealand dollar will continue to underperform, and particularly against, I think, other commodity-related currencies such as the Aussie in the near term. And then the other, obviously, currency which has been underperforming has been the Japanese yen as well. We have seen dollar yen move back in towards this 106 to 108 training range that has kind of largely held since April. Reasons potentially why dollar yen has moved higher in recent weeks. Well, I think generally the kind of external environment is still generally supportive for risk assets, and that is weighing on those kind of safe haven currencies like the yen in the short term. We look at the kind of performance of global equity markets. They're obviously continuing to rebound. And have basically kind of largely reversed the sharp sell-off that we saw from earlier this year when the COVID shock hit. And at the same time as well, I think something which has kind of captured more market attention has been the recent move higher in yields as well outside of Japan. So if we look at the 10-year Treasury yield, that had been threatening earlier this month to break below support at 0.5%, but that has held. And since then, yields have rebounded back towards the kind of average that we've seen over the last 4 to 5 months. So I think that as well is offering some support for dollar yen in the near term. But taking that all that into consideration, generally kind of the environment is still generally kind of risk on right now. Market doesn't appear to be kind of overly concerned at this stage by kind of the instability that we're seeing in some emerging markets such as Turkey, and also as well the kind of ongoing failure from politicians in the US to reach a new agreement on a further fiscal stimulus package. Obviously, President Trump last week he signed some executive orders to try and put in place some kind of stopgap stimulus, but we still think that won't be sufficient on its own to provide support for the US economy. So obviously the longer that the politicians fail to reach a bipartisan deal on a further fiscal stimulus program, we think that does pose downside risks to the recovery in the US. But like I said, so far the market doesn't appear overly concerned by that development.
And what else should we look out for this week, Lee?
Yeah, like I think it's going to be another relatively quiet week in terms of central bank meetings. The main focus will probably be the Norges Bank meeting in the week ahead. Although we're not expecting anything particularly exciting from that meeting. Pretty much expected to leave their monetary policy stance and their outlook for policy unchanged going forward. In terms of kind of the G10 central banks, the Norges Bank is still one of the more hawkish central banks. They have already signaled that they've kind of brought an end to their easing cycle and have already started to pencil in the prospect of a rate hike in late 2022. So still some way away, but obviously relative to other major central banks who are still easing policy, the Norges Bank does still look like it's going to be one of the more hawkish central banks, and I think that is obviously helping the Norwegian krona to outperform, which we think will continue going forward. We also have the release of the latest minutes from the Fed meeting and the ECB meeting. There's obviously the focus there for markets will be on whether there's any further indication or signals over further stimulus to come later this year. On that side of things, we still think there's a good chance the Fed and the ECB will have to do more easing. Whether we see much kind of market moving details in the minutes this week remains to be seen. And then in terms of kind of economic data, obviously we do get the latest round of PMI surveys from Europe and the UK for August. We'll obviously be watching those closely to see if they continue to remain consistent with a sharp rebound in the initial stage of the recovery from the COVID shock. Obviously, in recent months, we have seen business confidence rebound very sharply and is now at levels which is consistent with strong growth. So certainly looking like we're going to have a very strong rebound in growth in the third quarter. But I think for markets, more importantly, will be what happens to the economy in the fourth quarter and early next year, where we continue to see this strong initial phase of growth being sustained. And on that side of things, it's still uncertain. Obviously, there's still a number of potential downside risks which remain in place. Obviously, in Europe, we have seen evidence of the spread of COVID-19 that is certainly picking up again. And obviously, if that continues, then that could provide more disruption to the recovery later this year. And then finally, I think probably potentially more of a market mover, maybe more so in the EM space, is we have the latest Central Bank of Turkey policy meeting. Obviously, ahead of that meeting, the Turkish lira still remains under downward pressure, with dollar TRY still trading close to record highs. Close to just over the 740 level. So we still think this kind of renewed weakness in the Turkish lira that is putting pressure on the central bank in Turkey to tighten policy meaningfully in the week ahead. We've already seen the central bank there try to tighten policy through stealth measures such as limiting access to cheaper funding. And that has had some impact in terms of tightening financing conditions in Turkey. If you look at the kind of weighted average cost of financing at the Central Bank of Turkey, that has risen from a low of about 7.34% in mid-July, and it's currently trading at just over 9%. So we have seen some tightening there already in Turkey, but at this stage, we don't think that amount of tightening will be sufficient to help stabilize the lira. Certainly, if you look at the recent rates of inflation in Turkey, the headline and the core rates are still more elevated at 11.8% and 10.3% respectively in July. So you're still looking at negative real rates in Turkey. And I think if the Central Bank of Turkey wants to provide more support for the lira, they'll need to raise rates more significantly going forward. We would suggest perhaps by at least kind of 5 to 6 percentage points to provide kind of more convincing support for the lira. However, having said that, though, that there is generally kind of widespread skepticism that the central bank will act decisively in the week ahead. If you look at the kind of latest consensus views amongst Turkish economists covered by Bloomberg, the consensus view is very much for the Central Bank of Turkey to keep rates on hold at 8.25% this week. And even if you look at the economist looking for the largest rate hike is looking for a hike of just 175 basis points. So I think even if the central bank did deliver a hawkish surprise, it's probably going to be insufficient really to provide much support for the lira. I think they'd have to raise rates very, very aggressively in the week ahead to turn the tide for the lira. So I think ultimately we're still looking very much like the lira will remain under downward pressure, and obviously the record low is very much under threat.
Great. Well, thanks very much for all of that insight, Lee. Have a good week and we'll speak to you soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.